Six pack lap it out. I got the shit code back on. I don't know how many podcasts we've done now, but we've done a few, and we're talking about Sheffield. So, how did this one feel in comparison to the last one for you? And this is going to be entirely different for you for sure.
Yeah, that was a completely different experience. Last year, I was going there pretty injured, knowing that I wouldn't hit anything interesting. I was pretty mad about that because, like, the prep was going well up till one point, and then it was just downhill. And this year, I was going into this meet knowing that I had a pretty high chance of winning and doing something crazy. So I was really excited, really confident, and yeah, just much, much happier to be there in general.
Called your shot. You said straight up, let me put some light on my face here. You said straight up you wanted around 600 kilos. You said 600, which is huge, but you like lived up. Like you weren't just throwing something out there. That was legit. And you won by, oh my gosh, what was it? Let's pull this up here. Cause you, was it one? I
Around
just want to see, but
3%.
what's that? Sorry.
Around 3%.
3%? I thought it was more than that. Wait one second. Let me pull this up. I just had this up for the recap show. So 09.29. That's insane. You destroyed the world record. Like and you're the first 69 ever, no matter what, to hit 600 kilos. Going into this, and everybody had you as a favorite to win overall. Was it like, was it pressure? Was it, how did you feel? Were you nervous, excited, all the above before this happened, knowing all the hype and everybody predicting that you're going to win?
Actually, not everyone. I listened to all of the preview shows and there were some interesting takes. But yeah,
Yeah,
knowing them,
who said, remind me who said what? Remind me now.
Eric said I would come as in fifth. So
Shit, what's
that
up,
one
Eric?
was,
What's up now, Eric?
that
That
was a bit disrespectful.
was
But yeah,
disrespectful. That was offensive.
I feel like when I know that people choose me to win, I'm more at peace and less, like, I feel less pressure actually, because it just makes me confident that people believe I can do this. So, you know, I can do this. And when I don't know, I didn't feel as much pressure to prove people anything because I knew that I just need to show up, make attempts and that will speak for itself. Whereas if I don't know, when people don't choose me to win and I know that I'm not in such a good shape, I feel much more pressure to show up and actually do something and show people that I am still strong and in the
Wow.
contention to be the best.
It's rare somebody goes down a weight class and up in total.
Yeah.
Like that's crazy. How did this happen?
I think I wasn't able to put a total PR or like a big total PR last year because I was constantly dealing with back pain and that put me back a lot. And so for this prep, I was finally able to push squats and deadlifts a little bit more. So that definitely helped. Another big thing that changed throughout this year was that when I started working with my coach in 2020, he didn't program for me. I would just show him my programs. He would tell me if it's okay and only programs for equip. And he started fully programming for me after 2023 Sheffield. So throughout those months, we were able to find something that really worked for me. He's like really nerdy, really into Excel and calculating and analyzing things. And I feel like, yeah, we were just able to find that sweet spot for me. Very good progress. So that's definitely part of this.
You were saying afterwards, we were all hanging out, and we stayed up to like 4:30. Those are like those conversations in the hotel that are famous that I tell everybody about. And Leah was like in her onesie pajama. Remember?
Yeah.
And we were at that table with Kedrick, And you were saying previously your training, it was like six X SPD days a week. It was crazy.
It wasn't, but that's what took my total from a bit over 500 to 585 back in 2022. So it
Fair
definitely
enough.
worked.
As a junior, it's a monster total. You were instantly on the scene. And then what did you change from there?
So I don't do SBD 6 times a week anymore. For the Sheffield prep, I did 3 squats, 4 deadlifts, and 6 benches per week. And one of the big changes that we implemented was instead of doing for deadlifts a top set and then back offs, I started doing ascending sets on my two heaviest sessions. And that I feel helped a lot with the lower back pain because I've realized that I can warm up to my top set just fine, but then I can't do back offs because but by that time my back would be too fatigued and hurt too much. Well, that's something that we did.
Listen, this weight cut, was it, when did you decide? Refresh my memory here, because obviously at Worlds you were 76 and you were close to Carlina. It was close enough, right? It was a pretty close battle. When did you decide, you know what, I'm going 69?
We've been thinking about that for a while since Sheffield happened, actually, after what Evie did. But I wasn't really into this idea because, like, I like food and stuff, and I was worried I would lose strength. But yeah, as I've said many times before, I was struggling to maintain my weight leading up to Worlds. I had to force feed myself, and I just didn't enjoy eating food at all. Everything would taste bad to me. I didn't really feel like eating anything. So,
Really? How many calories were
yeah.
you eating? Were you like force feeding yourself to make 76?
Yeah, around 3,200. And I
Wow.
was still very, very slowly losing weight. So like the weekly, I don't know, it would just go down like a little bit from week to week. So I decided that we could use this opportunity to cut down because like cutting would actually be nicer than trying to maintain my weight. And that was the case at the beginning of the cut.
What calories did you end up eating for the 69 kilo class?
I was eating between 2,700 to 2,800 by the end
Oh,
of the
that's still
cut.
frig, that's still really good.
Yeah.
So this wasn't a tough cut then. If you're eating that many calories, I mean you eat more than Jarrett's, the 83. Like you eat probably like Delaney doesn't eat a lot either. Delaney Wallace. Like you eat as much as them to make weight. So this wasn't actually that hard of a cut then, right?
It wasn't for the most of it, but the last few weeks were pretty tough. I was constantly hungry, just constantly thinking about food. I would eat a meal and just get hungrier after finishing it, already thinking about the next one. And like also a big thing for me is the not having the possibility to just go out and eat a bit more once in a while, or like having to be really strict with what you eat and all your calories and stuff. That's like a bigger thing for me when it comes to cutting.
But on the flip side, strength was there. Like, and that's to say the least. Even your training when you did SPD days and you were hitting around like 575 and whatnot, it looked like, okay, maybe you'll go into the 580s, but 600. Like, what were you hitting in training that made you think, I think I'm gonna go 600? Because you weren't, were you going that heavy?
So the thing is, all of those singles that I posted, both squats and deadlifts, were fatigued singles. So I did some a lot of volume work before those singles, and I knew that. People didn't know that. So I knew that if I
Sneaky.
just warm up to a top single, it's gonna be a little bit more in the tank than if I do fatigued singles.
Sneaky, sneaky, Agatha. Did you hit like peaked singles without being fatigued in prep? Did you ever like test to see where you're at?
Just the last heavy singles of prep, the 190 squat and 240 deadlift.
And you also said at one point, like, oh my God, I think I'm turning into a deadlift specialist because your deadlift was, what was that all about? Was it just like, did your levers change when you moved down to 69?
Definitely, you can clearly see that my starting position is much more upright, but that deadlift specialist arc was just, I don't know, I had a really good deadlift block and was just putting PRs every week. But yeah, it then just kind of slowed down a bit.
The deadlift specialist arc. That's true. Do you think so? If you go back up to 76, will you have to change your deadlift setup all over again? Do you think?
I don't know, we'll see. I struggled a lot with technique through the entire 2023 because by the end of 2022, I was dealing with right adductor pain and couldn't really do sumo. And then all of that lower back pain, and I kind of lost my deadlift technique and couldn't really find a good starting position. So I was trying to find something that would work for me, but it looked like shit all the time. So I don't know. We'll see about that.
When you were at the event and you the crowds at the crowd was nuts. The event itself, like, it leveled up for sure. I mean, Sheffield leveled up from the first year, but do you think it helped you having been there the first year to deal with, like, you knew what you're going to face when you stepped onto the platform? Some people who showed up there for the first time would not be ready for that. Gara had not gone to Sheffield before and competed. Leah has. But was that a help for you, or was it still like when you hit that platform, you were still like, oh my God, this is crazy?
I don't think it affected me negatively in any way. Even the first time, I don't really focus my eyes on anything, so I didn't really comprehend how many people were there. But hearing all of those people screaming really gives me the energy to lift. So it was only positive for me. And I also had the chance to compete before a kind of big crowd at the World Games. That was probably the biggest that I've ever competed before Sheffield.
And you were always knee deep in the biggest showdowns. Like, you were going against the biggest names in powerlifting. Like, with you and Jessica Bittner in 2022 and 2023, Jessica has a massive following on social media, extremely popular, and you guys going back and forth in the Battle of the 76s in Malta, crazy. Then the showdown between Leah Bavois and Carola Garr in the 69s was going to be the most heavily hyped showdown anyways, already just the two of them. And Leah has a massive following on social media, extremely popular. And you decide, let me jump in here and join the party. And you were knee deep in, like, the biggest showdowns with the biggest stars of powerlifting everywhere you go. Like, you've had some big hits. This has gone very, very well for you. Are you just like, do you hunt these showdowns? Is this what motivates you over titles and records or anything else, is that you want these showdowns?
Yeah, I think I told you already. I don't really care about the titles because what's the point of having a title when no one contended to in your weight class? I don't care about an easy win. I just want to go against someone who's really strong and see who's the strongest of our two. So that's something I care more about. And world records are cool, but with how many world records are broken in women's powerlifting every year at every international meet, it also doesn't feel that special.
I heard a rumor. Tell me if this is true. When you were cheering for Jess when she was pulling in 2022, that last deadlift, is this true that you said, look, I was cheering for her because this is probably going to be the last time she's going to win a world title?
That's something that's completely made up by Jurians. I don't know what's about him,
It
but
was Jaren's. It's such an
yes,
amazing quote, but.
but he loves to make up those stories and then tell everyone, oh, she said this, oh, he said this. But like, I don't remember saying that. I think he just like, I said something maybe similar, and he just said this and asked, "Is this what you mean?" And then started telling everyone that that's what I said.
Nemo King of Lips and said that. The thing is, it was such a fire quote. It's such an amazing quote to be like, I was cheering for her. Really? You were cheering for your competitor to beat you? Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to be the last time she wins. So, and it was like, oh my God, that'd be a fire quote if you did say that. But I mean, you did rally back and you did get turn against Jess and win against Jess in 2023. Coming to Sheffield before we get to 2024. Were you paying attention to everybody else during the competition, or are you just eyes on the prize lifting?
I was trying to watch as much as possible, but of course, I didn't have a lot of time to really look at the live stream and see what others are doing because I was warming up or between my attempts. But yeah, I did watch Zonita's 300 kilo squat. I had to
That's
watch
right.
that. I also saw both Zonita and Brittany fail their opening attempts, and I was like, it's getting
Yeah,
interesting in here.
there was some spice to it. It things got even on the men's. There was people missing deadlifts in their conventional pullers, which you don't normally see, and they were missing it like at the top with balance. And it's like, Jesus, Tony, Britt, Sonita. It's like, what is going on here? Things got a little spicy. Did you know during it you were pacing to win?
I knew as soon as we saw openers, to be honest. My coach was like, "Oh, don't get carried away too soon." And I was like, "Yeah, whatever. It's done."
Really? So you were super confident the entire time. Wow.
And
It what did it feel like when you did win?
felt good. I was definitely really happy, really proud of myself. I've been chasing a like performance like this that would make people go like, "Wow, that's so crazy," for a pretty long time. I kind of knew I was capable of doing that, but I thought it would take a few years to get to that level. So to have a day like this, it felt really special to me. Like I finally achieved something that I wanted to achieve for so long.
And this is like when you were on that podium, and there's 2,000 people watching, 200,000. I mean, within 24 hours, over 200,000 people have already seen this on YouTube. It's crazy. And you're on that podium, and it's like greatness beside you. You know, in the 69 kilo class, you've won an open world title in equipped. Leah Babwa has won two classic world titles. Carola Garra has won, is a multiple time world champion. I don't know if we've ever in powerlifting since the IPF 1 Classic have seen resumes in a battle like this. Like you three all could go into the Hall of Fame. And all three you clashed. It might be the most decorated field in a showdown I've ever seen. And I've been commentating since 2016. And before 2016, you can look at the results. I don't think we've ever seen this before. This was a super special moment. And when you're sitting on that podium, like, did you realize, oh my God, like, it might not get any sweeter than this?
Yeah, I think that's one of those meets that I will remember for the rest of my life. It's like one of the happiest moments.
And right, almost right afterwards, I asked you, what's next? We're going to get a world title in here. And you told me, what did you tell me? I'll let you tell it.
Yeah, I said I don't really care about world titles, if I can recall correctly. So I'm going to 76s to face against Carlina again. Would be cool to finally beat her.
She's the one that she's the last one. You got
Yeah.
Jess, you got revenge on Jess, went down to the 69s, and now she's the one that got away. And it's what did you think about her performance at Sheffield?
I honestly expected her to hit a bit more. Yeah, her squat is really strong, of course, but she has some issues with deadlifts. I think she failed her second attempt. And yeah, she definitely had a little bit left in the tank on bench, so that's when she can add to her total. But yeah,
What do you think about?
if she failed her third deadlift, like she failed her second, it would be just half a kilo difference between us. So I'm coming for it.
Look at a motivated Agatha Shitko is scary. And looking at, so she did 610 and a half and you did 600 kilos as a 69. Do you think you're going to fill out 76? Or how much do you need to fill out 76?
I don't know. We'll see. Right now, I'm really happy to be back in the calorie surplus after cutting for so long. So I'm just enjoying all the food. That
Are you 76 kilos right now? Be honest.
no.
You're
The I
like,
don't think
I'm
it would be
84, so.
possible.
Oh,
Actually, I might go 84 at one point. I've seen some people say that I should go 84 and challenge Amanda. So maybe that
well,
will be the next goal.
here's the thing. Okay. Well, listen to this. I know your mind's already made up, but powerlifting has never had a three-division world champion. Not ever. Powerlifting, I know you don't care about titles, but in terms of like legacy, can you imagine being a three-division world champion and you're the first and you're the GOAT? That means you're the GOAT. If you win 69, 76, and then you go for Amanda, well, I don't know, because if you go up, you're never coming back to 69, right?
I might actually. I was thinking about maybe not cutting fully to 69, but cutting a little bit to have a higher dot score. But maybe I will actually cut down to the 69s again in the future. But not now. I just want to eat food and compete as
Fair
a
enough.
76. That's my true weight class, and I want to be in there.
I
I'm
mean,
attached.
why? Well, first, why do you think it's your true weight class, first off? And I mean, you like being dice. You're doing all these flexing poses all of a sudden. Oh, you're like, you're showing off 69 kilos. You're diced up. But so why do you feel like 76 is your true weight class?
First of all, having a six pack is cool, but I like being huge more, and I just want to gain some fresh muscles. Maybe finally get to a 40 centimeters bicep. That would be cool.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
And
Fair enough.
yeah, I've been competing as a 72 since I started powerlifting, and then when the weight classes changed, I knew I was going to go 76. And yeah, I'm just attached to this weight class. I like it.
You have a little bit of unfinished business there.
Yeah, that's another point.
You haven't, look at, if you have a bigger total at 69 kilos than you do at 76, you can't leave it like that. That's upside down. Right?
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting what happens when you move back up and you're young, you're
I
21.
yeah, I hope I'm finally gonna get a respectable squat because, like, honestly, it's a shame to squat this little.
200 kilos and up.
What?
What did you squat at Sheffield?
197.5.
Yeah, 200 kilos and up. You probably want more now. You hit 202.5 at 19 at
As well.
76. What's your
Yeah.
PR here? It's 202.5. Yeah. You probably, what are you looking for at 76 then for a squat?
I mean, for reds would be cool, but it's probably gonna take a while to get there. But yeah, just 210 plus. I hope I can finally hit something like that.
I mean, that just alone is going to take your total. If you go 210 on your squat, your total's already past 610.
Yep.
And you're already applying pressure. Who's your nutritionist?
It's Damian Parol. He's a guy from Poland. So, yeah, he's a pretty well-known dietitian, and he's a
Is he
powerlifter
okay?
himself. Yeah, he's a powerlifter. He's also in my powerlifting team as well. So I knew him from like meets and stuff, and he's helped a lot of different athletes with making weight for competitions.
What did this do for powerlifting in Poland? Like, what's the scene like over there? This has to help. I know it's really early, so it's hard to tell, but do you think this is going to help for Poland to have the queen of powerlifting?
I hope so. I've talked to some people, and I've seen some people talk about this, that they want to go to back to like just go to IPF and try to get to Sheffield possibly one day. So yeah, hopefully I can just lure more people into the IPF affiliate, because as I've said many times before, the untested side of powerlifting in Poland is much more developed. The meat production is better. There are more people competing there, and just the atmosphere at those meets, it just feels nicer to compete there. But I hope people will see that the international stage is really where powerlifting is at its best, and they will want to compete in the IPF.
What federations are big? Is it the Untested that's big in Poland? What is the Polish scene in a lot of equipment you were saying, right?
It's like the equipped side of tested powerlifting is kind of still alive in Poland, and maybe even a bit more developed than like the raw part of powerlifting in Poland.
Really? It's still.
I don't know if I can say this much, but we have a lot of people who just are transitioning to equipped still from
Wow.
raw. And that's really shocking to me, but whatever. But the untested side is
Whatever.
generally bigger than the tested side.
Really? This is crazy. This is Poland's like the opposite of the rest of the world.
Yeah, but I feel like one of the biggest problem with for federation is that it's for bodybuilding and powerlifting, and the bodybuilding side is a bit more influential. So they don't really have a lot to that they could change in this, and that's what holds us back.
Is that why you went 69? You're hitting all those bodybuilding poses and all you're trying to get their attention? Be like, check out this double bicep. Okay, check. But so how does France is actually the same. France is bodybuilding, powerlifting, and arm wrestling in that federation. I don't know if do you guys have arm wrestling in the same federation?
No, just bodybuilding and powerlifting.
So the same people run all of that. But maybe they're, but it sounds so their focus is more on the bodybuilding because it's bigger. It makes me wonder, like, do you have stars in Poland that you think are on the rise?
Again, mostly on the untested side.
We gotta get them.
Yeah,
As
that's
long
what
as
I
they're
was
clean.
saying. There's a young girl lifting at our gym. She's looking pretty strong, and she has competed untested. But she said, last time I talked to her, she said she wants to go to the IPF. So hopefully she might be a contender on the international stage soon.
Is there a live stream for your nationals?
Sometimes. There usually is, but sometimes there's not, and it's not really good quality, and we don't have a speaker for the live stream, so it's kind of
So
messy.
it's just kind of watching people exercise.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's better than nothing. Something's better than nothing, that's for sure. But it's definitely, it makes Nick Manders did a post just recently and he talks about how different it is to have a commentator. Even if the,
Yeah.
he's like, even if the commentator sucks, it makes a huge difference to have somebody walking you through it.
Yeah, that instantly made me think of our national meet. I was like, really guilty
Yeah,
of that.
it's just some commentary helps. You need something, even if it's just name and weight. And then lift is good. Wow, maybe 5 more kilos. Even if it's that is so much better than nothing. And it's just going on in the background. But I would prefer to have a straight up stream with nothing than nothing at all, period, where there's no stream at all. Like you need something. to bring people in, to bring interest. That's how you're going to grow the sport for sure. So if they at least have that, and if they got you lifting at it, I mean, frick, what else do you want? You got, if you got like the Sheffield winner showing up at your nationals, you better try to find a stream. But yeah, so okay, moving into Lithuania, so now you're looking at, what is this? We're going to start bulking now.
I've already started.
It's been a week.
The last week, I haven't really counted calories that much. I just ate whatever I wanted. So this morning I was at 71.3. I guess some of it is water weight, and I'm going to lose that. But the bulk is already begun.
And so obviously we'll see what happens as you march into the 76s. And you were saying, like, if you all right, so I was talking to Joe Whiteley on the recap show, and I'm gonna drop the recap show today. And Joe Whiteley said, if Agata can do this, you won Sheffield. Let's say you win the World Championships in the Classic at 76. Is it on the same calendar year? What if you go 84 and win the Equipped World Championships? For you to win three major titles in three different weight classes in the same calendar year might again be like the greatest year we've ever seen in powerlifting. I don't know where she got that from, if she asked you your goals, but is that actually what you want to do?
Yep.
I mean, that's crazy, right?
The thing with competing as an 84 in equipped is that my goal is to hit a 300 kilo squat, 800 kilo total, and a 225 plus kilo bench. And I feel like that's much more possible at around 80 kilos than as a 76 kilo. And there's no reason for me to compete as a 76 in equipped. So
And
that's it.
then, if you do that, let's say you do everything you did, which is an absolutely insane year, and you already have in this scenario, you have the 76 kilo title. Are you just going to move forward as an 84 from there? Just be like, all right, I guess I'm filling it out. Or are you going to go back to 76 and that 84 clash with Amanda Lawrence will have to wait?
I'm definitely going to cut back down to 76s for 2025 because one, I will have to compete as a 76 at World Games because you
Yeah.
have to compete in the weight class that you qualify in. There are I don't know if you know how World Games work.
Yeah, you double up the weight classes. So you'd be, is it 76 or
69 plus
69?
76.
Right.
So you have to compete in those two weight classes combined. And going as an 84 for Sheffield would be absolutely, totally, completely stupid. So I'm not doing that yet.
That's absolutely, completely stupid. I mean, yeah, it would be too much too soon to go for that world record. But if you're already at 600, once you as a 76, if you're at 600 as a 69, at 76, I could easily see you go on 620 and start shooting it up. Let's see what happens, right? From 620, if you go 84, and the world record for the 84s is like 640 something. I'd have to double check that. But you're getting closer and closer.
That's a thing for 2026, I think.
It's in for the longest time. I mean, this is a long time out to start talking about it, but forever, Amanda Lawrence has been the 84 kilo queen, and she's been dying for some competition. She's been dying for a big name to move up to 84. And certain people have flirted with it. Jessica Bittner's flirted with it. Other people have flirted with that idea of moving up. And she's like, please, somebody come up and push me, because she had a did you see her when she battled Daniela Mello? I mean, it was amazing. right down to the very last deadlift. And that was 2019, and ever since it's been like the Amanda Lawrence show. And she puts on a show, but she could use a star. And if you move up, she would have that super clash that she'd be begging for. And yeah, by the time you're, a couple more years, you get a little older, you keep putting on muscle mass, it'll probably get easier and easier to get up there. I'm wondering too, Jessica Bittner last competed and she was like 80 kilos. I'm wondering if Jess moves up. Have you been paying attention?
I wanted to ask you about that because she said before that she wants to finally move up to the 81st temporarily. But yeah, I wonder what she'll do. I thought you would know.
I'll shoot her a message. I seen her in Texas in the fall as she was 80 kilos, and I can't remember. I don't think I asked her, but I knew she was 80 kilos and starting to get closer to 84 than she was to 76. But Jessica does crazy cuts. Like she can do hero cuts and cut down. So it doesn't necessarily mean she is. I'll shoot her a message and find out. I mean, I got so much on my plate. Like, yeah, I wasn't even thinking about 2024 worlds yet until we get past Sheffield and everything like that, right? So, but now that I'm thinking about it and we're starting to eye 2024 worlds, I think I'll ask her and see what her plans are. And maybe 84 in the 76 kilo class, I wonder who will be in there. It's because it's a World Games year, so people got to be very careful.
Yeah, that's also I've talked to Evie if about her, if she wants to move up or not. And yeah, she has a pretty big problem with that because she wanted to compete as a 52 at Worlds to qualify for Sheffield. But then if she does, she will have to compete as a 52 at World Games. So she either has to go to 57s and risk not being invited for Sheffield or stay as a 52 for much longer than she wants to.
And the 57s are no joke. Like
Yeah.
Natalie and Jad, Evie moves up, she'll like with extra body weight, she'll be in there. But you got a podium to go to the World Games too. It's tough. It's super duper competitive right now in women's powerlifting.
Yeah, it is, and that's what's exciting.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's anywhere you pretty soon, because you guys are all bumping up these world records and all the weight classes. There isn't going to be an easy weight class. Look at the 84 plus. For years, the 84 plus was just Bonica and nobody else. Like Bonica just won every single year by a lot. Now, 84 plus is like a battlefield. Like you have like those ladies have like huge battles. And then you have Alexis Jones coming over and she's done 721 kilo total, which is insane. So when she comes at 84 plus is going to be on fire. There's no easy weight classes now. Also, Agatha, how heavy do you see yourself competing as?
In 76s?
No, like period in your career, how heavy do you want to go and how many different weight classes? Because you've already competed now as a 72, a 69, a 76, an 84. And you were
I
joking. I don't know if you were joking or you were serious, but that night you were like, I might do a competition as 84 plus.
I've been thinking about it for a while because I just want to have all the national records across all those four weight classes. So maybe I will try to like pump my weight up for one meet. I could do this around the Equipped Worlds this year because going from 80 to 84.1 sounds like it could be doable. So I
Be
might
insane.
try to do that.
You should fully commit. Tell your nutrition coach you want to be 150 kilos. And let's see that bench press. Let's see what you're benching at 150 kilo body weight. It's going to be amazing.
I couldn't probably even work on that, by the way, let alone bench.
You'd have diabetes. You'd have some serious health issues, but think about your total. Your subtotal
But
anyways. Your deadlift
do you
will be
think I would?
suffer.
You think I'd be able to hit depth at that body weight?
It'd be difficult. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you. It would be difficult, and it would be a very trying year for you. You will be going through some health issues and mental health issues, but think about that subtotal. As long the deadlift is gonna be very difficult. But that subtotal would be on fire. Yeah, I don't know. It's exciting because when you're 21, God knows what you can end up doing. What do you see yourself doing? How long do you want to do this? Have you thought about this? Are you like, man, I'm going until the wheels fall off?
I mean, in terms of powerlifting in general, I want to do this for as long as possible. But yeah, I have been thinking about switching to untested at one point. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this because
You can
apparently,
talk about it. You can say whatever you want because you haven't done it.
no, but like Jorin said that a lot of people reached out to him after I posted a story about this and asked if I'm on gear since I talk about this so freely. So yeah, that's
You get
interesting.
randomly blood tested and urine tested, like all
Yeah,
the
two
time for
times a year.
years. Yeah, like it's not anyone who knows that you're not. I hope we don't lose you, because I mean, I think what the IPF is doing, and we have like SBD involved as well, obviously, and in Poland it's different. Okay, Poland sounds like a different scenario, but globally, with Eurosport, World Games going classic, Sheffield getting bigger and bigger every year. Like it was sold out. Did you hear that they sold out 50% already in the first week?
I've listened to the recap show. Yeah.
The women's recap show is dropping today, by the way. But
Yeah.
we don't even know the women's world champions, the men's world champions, who the wild cards are. We don't know anybody. And already 50% sold out. That's insane. No, I can't.
Yeah, I know. That's why I've been thinking about doing this for a while now, before Sheffield was a thing. So that's just something I've always been planning to do at one point. But yeah, it's gonna be a really tough decision because of Sheffield, mainly because it's such a unique experience that I don't want to let go of it. But maybe like in, I don't know, 10 years, once I stop being this competitive,
Let me talk to
or
you
once
first.
I
In 10
stop
years,
making progress.
listen, Agatha, make me a promise right now. In 10 years, when you're 31, you reach out to me and let's talk. If I'm still alive, you reach out to me and let's talk first before you leave. But 10 years is a long time. Who knows? But listen, I know that, like with Eurosport and all the things I just said, plus there's other ventures that are going to open up for us that I know about. And there'll be some announcements, and I can't announce before the official announcement, but the IPF is making moves. SBD is Sheffield is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. When you sell out that quickly, a year in advance, you're going to have to get bigger. You're going to have to, the venue gets bigger. The meet itself gets bigger. The revenue obviously goes up because the gate gets bigger. And the viewership got bigger already. It's crazy. So they're gonna have more to play with. So Sheffield, as right now, is a phenomenal event. In 5 years' time, who knows? We could have like 8,000 people, 10,000 people. It'd be crazy. Who if we're on like if Sheffield is on Eurosport or Sheffield is on ESPN, CBS Sports or whatever the heck broadcast that might pick it up. Can you imagine? Or IPF Worlds on all these different, like they're already spreading out and on Eurosport. So there's a lot of growth still to come, and the doors that'll open up when you have millions of people watching, we'll see. And you at 21, I know it's a pipe dream, but if powerlifting ever enters into the Olympics, what do you think about that?
If it does, then I won't switch to the untested, probably. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. It's just something that's at the back of my head. But yeah, as I've said, it would be a hard decision to make, so I might change my mind about that.
And the thing with the untested too, like in Poland, which is like a small pond, in the bigger picture, there's not a lot. Like there's not a lot for
Yeah.
untested. Like what's the biggest meet in untested? My point exactly. Love, you just made my point.
But
It's there is not.
that's more about just getting bigger and stronger, because that's what's really my
That's
thing, so.
sure. Well, we'll see. Put it this way. Call me in 10 years. Let's see what's going on.
Okay,
We'll
I
see.
will.
We'll see what's happening. We'll cross that bridge in 10 years' time. All right, kind lady. Let's do. Do you want to do the name game? I toss out a name for you, and you could tell me. You could say one word. You could give a story. You could give whatever the heck you want. And we'll. What do you think?
Okay.
Sound good? Okay, kind lady. The first name, blast from the past, your old rival, Jessica Bittner.
Still a Canadian forklift.
That's
I
a
hope she
fact.
will come back to the 76ers. It would be cool to see her again on the platform.
I'm going to touch base with Jess and we'll see what the deal is there. How about this one? Leah Bava.
I respect her for benching 7 times a week.
Fair enough. It was kind of surreal that night sitting with you guys at the same table, just like talking to like 4:30 in the morning. And she's in a onesie pajamas and we're like chilling. It's I don't know. It's kind of funny. You guys are like sports rivals, but not at all like that afterwards.
Yeah, like it's the beauty of powerlifting. But like, if you watch Brittany and Sonita in the warm-up room, they were talking all the time, laughing and all of it while warming up and going against each other on the platform.
Are you like that during the meet?
I might be, but usually other people from my weight class are much more focused on just lifting. But yeah, I talk to people when they want to talk.
Some people go out of their way to create an enemy with somebody else to help their training, to help their focus, to help everything. Friggin' Michael Jordan. Well, look, first off, so many lifters do this. It's like very common. They come on the podcast. Penn's come on the podcast and openly says he does it. He openly, in his mind, tries to turn his opponents into enemies. But this isn't just power, and tons of powerlifters do this. But this is Russell Lurie comes on here and says, like, he looks for reasons to get himself pumped up. He looks for what somebody said. And be like, oh, okay, is that what you think? Blow it out of proportion in his own mind on purpose, go to the gym and smash those weights. Michael Jordan, one time in an interview, said a guy on the other team when they're playing in the playoffs told him, hey, good luck, and shook his hand. And Michael Jordan thought, good luck. And what the fuck do you mean by that? Like he took it like, good luck just could mean good luck, and you're trying to be nice. But Michael Jordan took it like, good luck, huh? You got a tone on your voice when you say it, like you're being a smart ass. So Michael Jordan's like, all right, I'll teach you. Goes out there, drops like 50 points on him, and he's like, there's your fucking good luck for you, guy. So then the press is like, oh my God. They all go to this guy and they're like, how did you mean it when you said good luck? Did you mean it sarcastically? And the guy goes, let me blow your mind. I never said good luck. I never even talked to him. Michael Jordan made it all up. He didn't even misinterpret the good luck. The conversation never happened. This is what some athletes do, though. They tell themselves just to fire themselves up, and they use these like mental games.
I kind of do that, but only in my head. Like, I listened, for instance, to a podcast Leah recorded with Sabato Session, and some of the things she said, it really fueled me for my session. And I was like talking to my friends and saying not very nice things about her, but like,
Oh.
I don't feel the same way when I see this person in real life. Like, we are all just powerlifters. We love doing this. So it's not like, yeah, I just like those people for having
It's
the
like
same passion as me.
It's like you could tell yourself what you need to tell yourself in training to get yourself through the training, but you know in your heart it's not real. You're not
Yeah.
delusional. So when you see the person, and me, you, and Leah, and Kendrick, and whatever, we had a table full of people, Ben was there, could hang out the entire night, and you're like, no, I know that was just me doing mind games. I'm not crazy. I know, yeah, I'm not Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan
Yeah.
told the press like this really happened. He convinced himself this was the truth. Have you ever seen, not to make this all about Michael Jordan, but if you've ever seen Michael Jordan visited a camp, a basketball camp with kids, and the kids from grade school all the way up to high school. And Michael Jordan visited this, he paid for it and subsidized it, and for these inner city kids to have a program to get them, busy and have an avenue. And they're like, Michael, you should play against the kids. It'll be amazing. And everybody thought Michael Jordan was gonna like, have a little fun, let the kids get a couple three pointers here. He might get a three pointer, make it interesting. Michael Jordan destroyed them. Michael Jordan didn't let a single point get by him and just whoop them like he's playing the New York Knicks. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like he was like game seven clutch. I need to do this. Like that's Michael Jordan anyways. So yeah, it's there's levels to the mind game. At the very least, you understand, like, all right, this is just me. Because I think Leah on the Sabato sessions, didn't she say 600 kilos isn't gonna be enough?
I think that's another thing that dreams made up because
Yeah.
I listened to that one and I'm pretty sure she said 585 wasn't enough because at this point I wasn't even thinking about 585. I already set my mind at 600 and I heard her say it and I was like, I know 585 isn't enough. I'm not going for 585. So yeah, just another thing that dreams made
Dude,
up.
what is Jared's? Just makes this shit up. He's hilarious. He's such a character. He just makes up, but they're good stories. I don't know who said this, but I remember someone saying, never ruin a good story with facts and truth. Never, and that's Jaren's motto, right to a T. My man is working overtime to make these heated battles. God bless. I love it. You go, I think that's something else Jaren's made up. I think that never happened, but whatever, whatever. Okay, back to the name game. We did Leah Bavois, Carola Gara.
She's a really great competitor. I remember she was one of the first big names in powerlifting that followed me on Instagram, and I was like, heels over toes, so fucking happy jumping to the moon. Like, oh
Really?
man, I was so happy because I knew her from being the one of the biggest names in both classic and equipped, and that was kind of my thing because that was after the equipped worlds. And I was so happy to be recognized by someone like that.
That's a cute story. And she's actually a super nice person, huh?
Yeah.
She was like obviously won the world title in 2019. And she's not as flashy. She doesn't post as much. She actually posts pretty little if you think about it.
Yeah.
And so nowhere near as flashy as like Leah, Jess, some of these other people you went against. And people to an ex and she goes, like you said, into equipped, and she kind of focused on equipped for a little bit. And people almost either they forgot about her, or we had so many new fans that by the time she came back to Classic and was at the World Championships in Malta, some people just straight up didn't know. Like some people like forgot or didn't know or didn't think. So many people around in 2019 and they never leveled up and they disappeared because they just couldn't level up.
Yeah.
Powerlifting leveled up. Powerlifting has leveled up so much. Gara has leveled up with it.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it. She just did not. She's like, if you're overlooking me, let me remind you. And her 63 kilo total of 557.5 is phenomenal. And then her 582.5, like, and she's blown up 63. She's going to stay 69, she told me. But frig, man, she did so good. Like 82.5 and 585 by Leah. Those are totals that are like competitive in 76 before. And now they're doing it. And they're not even big 69s. They're small.
Yeah.
They're not cutting. They're like puny for six. They have to grow into 69, and they're doing crazy numbers. I can't wait to see Gara and Bavois go at it one more time at Worlds. I wonder what they're going to do. Both of them, I think they'll both stay 69 if you move up.
Yeah, that would make sense to stay in the 69th for Worlds and then cut down to 63.
For Sheffield.
Yeah.
If they do that, I think you're 100% right. Especially if you go to 76. If you stay 69, you got to think about that, because will they take all three of you for Sheffield? You know, that's when one of them might be like, yeah, if I go 63, I got a better chance for all of it. World game, Sheffield, whatever, that, because you can get bumped, right? But if you move to 76, they go 69 and they cut for Sheffield, they might win. Who knows? There's
Yeah.
a, if they do like you did, if they do at 63 what you did at 69, oh wow. We'll see.
That
That's
would be
actually
pretty
not a
hard
bad
to beat.
idea.
Yeah.
We'll see which one of them ends up doing that. It'll depend. And it doesn't matter if they both, it doesn't matter who wins and who comes in silver at Worlds, because you came in silver at Worlds coming to Sheffield and did the old how you like me now. And everything changes. It's almost like a gateway. But anyways, all right. How about this one? Carlina Tangatea.
One of my biggest rivals right now and unfinished business.
That's right. Yeah, we got unfinished business coming. That is such a good matchup. Yeah, I can't wait for the freaking world championships for you guys to go at it one more time. It's good. Let's move on to some other people that you haven't competed against, but some other names that you'll know. How about this guy, Gavin Aiden?
Lunchbox,
What's that?
a lunchbox,
Landpox?
lunchbox,
Lamp post? What are you saying? I don't understand what you're saying.
lunchbox,
A
like a
lunchbox.
yeah.
Hey, that works. The American meatball. That's another one. My man is thick. Actually, I said you guys didn't compete. You did. You had that stare down at Junior Worlds. I took the picture. And you guys did that one stare down at Junior Worlds. Yeah, he's a hell of a showman. He's a, and he finally got that squat world record. And yeah, he's flirted himself with cutting down, but if he got his bench to what his bench was 220. If he did that, he would have been over 900 kilos. He got his squat. Go ahead.
How does he want to cut down to the 83s if he's at 100 kilos while competing in the 93s?
So I don't think he's gonna now. I think it depends. I think he, now that he's got all the squats into depth, if he goes 3 for 3 for squats, his deadlift is go, he went conventional. If his, and his deadlift is flying now, he just needs his bench press to come to it, what he's already benched. He doesn't need to even need add kilos to his bench. Just bench what you already did. He's over 900 kilos. He just has to put it all together like Gustav did. He just has to have a day where it all comes together. He doesn't even have to PR. He doesn't have to PR in a single lift to get 900 kilos. He just has to do it all in the same day. That is totally doable. And he's 900 kilos up. He's so, yeah, I think he stays put in 93 until he sees this through at the very least. And then if he wants to, fine. But I don't think he leaves 93s until he's comfortable, like, all right, there's my day. But yeah, good one. How about this guy? Delaney Wallace.
I think that was the biggest upset of Sheffield 2024 for me.
Really?
Or maybe contending his as being 11th. So those two were very like interesting to me. And like Gustav being first also didn't expect that. So there are a lot, but yeah.
Because Delaney going into this, everyone's talking about, well, he was injured. And then when I
Yeah.
talked to him, like right before, he said, I think it turned around in time, but he didn't know. And he said, I'll find out by the time squats rolls around. And then he squatted like a PR, and it's like, well, I guess so, huh? I guess we're good. And for him to finally break the 83-kilo world record, Russell Orhi's record, huge for Delaney. Because like Russell Orhi's shadow has been kind of over him this whole time. I got Delaney Wallace on the podcast tomorrow. He's a super nice guy. Have you spent much time with Delaney?
Not really. Yeah.
He's a super duper nice guy.
That was shocking because he didn't really post a lot. He only posted about his injury once, and then he would only post bench. That's why, yeah, I thought he was injured and didn't really expect him to break that world record or anything like that.
Yeah, when he was saying, when he was like, I think it turned around for me in time, I'm like, when? You didn't post anything. Like, what's telling you this? He must have hit some lifts and kept it to himself.
Yeah.
Because he said, like, not long ago, he was like, oh my God, I might even pull out. Like, it was bad. He just, when things started turning around for him, he just didn't let everybody know, I think things are turning around for me. And to be fair, he didn't really know it was turning around for him. He thought it might be. But it literally was right on the day of. He's like, I don't know. We're gonna find out. I'm happy for him that he broke that world record. It kind of sets the record straight that he always belonged and is a true world champion. And now nobody could say nothing until I mean Russ comes back. Hopefully they get the clash on the platform together.
Yeah, that
But
would be so cool.
that would be amazing. Because Delaney's at Sheffield and Russ is at PA Nats, they won't clash directly. And Russ is a monster. We'll see. Whatever. You never know. I told Delaney, no matter what, man, if Russ posts up a total bigger than you, put yourself in for a reserve or an alternate because people get injured and alternates go. I went to the World Championships as an alternate one time in the open. Like, throw your name in there no matter what. No matter what. And you might get the phone call and just go. And I mean, you know, the world, you get no better in the World Championships, and God knows, man, you can end up right back at Sheffield. Because if Delaney goes to the World Championships, he can win. Obviously, he already has twice, and then he might end up right back at Sheffield all over again. We'll see. How about this? We're talking about him already, but Russell Orhi.
That's really interesting. It's going to be a really, really interesting battle when he finally comes back to the IPF, and I can't wait to see him compete again. I wasn't that much into international powerlifting back when he was competing in the IPF. I started getting more interested in that right when the USAPL split from the IPF and he went to USAPL, so I never really got to witness him competing live and do those crazy things that everyone talks about. So I really hope to see that one day.
He's a showman. He gets people pumped up. 2021 Worlds, when it was like that was the COVID year when everyone's wearing masks, very few people in the crowd. They had to keep it small. You were there, you remember, but like
Yep.
you had to show a COVID test every time you walked in the door. There's like security in the door. It was different. And even then, he was yelling at the crowd to get them like rallied and stuff. Like he's a showman. He comes to Worlds, it's gonna be nuts. He ends up at Sheffield, it's gonna be freaking nuts. It's going to be amazing. So we'll see. I'm super excited for Russ to come back. I'm a huge Russ fan, obviously. But yeah, you'll see. It'll be something else. And we'll see him at PA Nats first. How about this person? You guys both had the same idea for Sheffield, and you guys both pulled it off. And we'll see if the trend continues next Sheffield. But Evie Corrigan.
The Sheffield 2023 champion, the first one to pull the
That's right. That's
EV.
right. She made the term. She made the term to pull an Evie. And now that you've done it, it's for sure a term. You need two
Yeah.
people to do it. I wonder if someone's going to pull an Evie. And I, based off of our conversation, I would not be surprised if either Leah or Gara try to pull an Evie. They win Worlds at 69, and they both look at each other in the eye and be like, let's cut down it. Let's both pull an Evie. You
I feel
pull an
like
Evie, I'll pull an Agata.
that's gonna be a bit different because they're not true 69s. They're both at around 66 kilos, so it's a bit different.
Yeah,
But
it's
yeah.
not full. Yeah. That's true. It is like, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I got a feeling you guys have set the tone that I think a lot of people are going to think about that anyways. People will think about the cut. Like even for a Gavin, if he won Worlds, let's say for a Gavin, if he won, because he's been tinkering with 84, if he won Worlds as a 93, you would look at that, the world record 83 kilo total. Gavin's so short and thick. He could be like, could I cut to 83? And if I could, and I could keep my strength like Evie and Agata, that might be my best shot. And oh my God, if you win Sheffield, I gotta tell you. By the way, before I get to the next name, while I'm on the topic, what are you doing with all that money? Is that already spent? You buying food? You going out to
Nah,
restaurants?
we have to wait for the doping control results first before we get the money. And then I'm just gonna invest it and start saving for an apartment in the future.
Good idea. That's what you're supposed to do at 21 years. Like, too many 21-year-olds would spend it on freaking candy and video games. Put it away and put it on an apartment. Good plan, Agatha. Okay. How about this one last one? Panagiotis. What's that, sorry?
Shinzo
I can't make out what you're saying.
Sasageyo. It's from an anime.
Oh my
It's
God.
Japanese.
Well, that would be why. I was like, I don't follow anime at all. Is that like a character that powers up or something?
No, it means give your heart, I think.
Okay.
It's like
That.
an opening, and something they would say a lot in this
He's
anime.
he is like forever the crowd favorite, and everybody loves because he like grinds and the whole nine. And talking in the recap show, if he pulled back on the squats and instead of 252.5 he did 250, I'm not sure, that would add 10 kilos to his total. He would have broke the world record. And I haven't done the math, but he would probably podium and been in contention there and been right close.
He does have a thing with taking the big jumps on his attempts and
Yes,
failing.
he does, ma'am. Yes, he does, ma'am. Because he has monster totals in the gym. And then, it obviously he you want to bring what you did in the gym to the platform. And he's passionate though. The same thing that makes Penna Penna. You can't have it both ways, and you can't like tame that wild horse, which is why we love him. So it's difficult. That's why he almost needs like somebody to jump in there, take the reins, and be like, this is what we're gonna do. But frig, has it been exciting to watch that guy perform. And for him and his deadlifts to go from 270 to 290, like a 20-kilo jump to nudge ahead of Kyoto and end up on the po or end up in the top five was it was cr like when he needs it. The only thing is he backs himself into a corner and he needs it, but it's so like entertaining to watch. But yeah, we'll see. In the 66 is a straight up battle zone. So he's got to be on point at Worlds and just get as best he can and solidify himself for World Games. And God knows, maybe Sheffield, who knows? We'll have to see how it all rock and roll. But anyways, listen, Agatha. Thank you for coming on the podcast. Always much appreciated. Good luck in training. Keep me in the loop. And I guess I'll see you in Lithuania. Do you do coaching, by the way?
No, I don't.
You don't? Okay. Cool. Have you thought about doing coaching?
Yeah, but I don't feel qualified yet. I would have to learn a lot to start coaching people.
Fair enough. It's refreshing to hear you say that you take it seriously because you could. Like, look, you just won Sheffield. If you the very next day said, I'm accepting clients, you could have a 60-person roster immediately. But the fact you're like, no, thank you, I'm going to wait and keep learning is some patience. So I respect that. But listen, thank you for coming on. And I'm going to see you in just a few short months in Lithuania. And we're going to have another clash. And maybe we even do a podcast leading into Lithuania and hype this up a little bit. But congratulations, you
Thank
are
you.
the queen of powerlifting. And the world is your oyster. And for everybody listening, please do subscribe, give us high ratings as per usual. And until next time, six pack Lapidat, six up, and we are out.